Oh, yes. But we're going to talk about the same verses in the book of Jude. I'm just going to do an introduction, basically, so that we'll get the big picture. And then Al's going to speak and show a little surprise video from Mercy Me about one of the words in the section. And we're going to have a treat from Dale, which I will not give away at this point. But he's going to talk about the doxology. And then we'll have a treat as part of his presentation. I'll leave that as a surprise. But before we start to look at the word, let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active, able to separate out like a sword. And Lord, I pray for us that we would hear your word and be touched by it, touched by your Holy Spirit speaking your truth into our life. We thank you, Lord, that you have touched us. You have made us blameless in your sight, Lord. You have made us faultless in your sight through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So as Ray has said right along, Jude started off his letter with the idea that I want to make this a positive letter. I want to talk about the mercy of God, his peace. But darn, when I start writing this letter, I realized there was a big problem I had to talk about. And that problem had to do with false teaching and the need for the church to discern false teaching. So he got not diverted exactly, but he decided it was more important for him to spend time talking about the church, understanding the need to hold on to the word of God faithfully and not to accept false teaching, and how significant that was. Well, at the very end, he has a chance to say, okay, I want to write one letter. I wrote a different letter, but let me get back to my main point, which is what we're going to talk about in these last two verses. And so, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Happens to be my favorite. It's a very literal version of the Bible. So Jude says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior," that's a little, okay, "to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen." As we used to say, he said a mouthful in those couple verses. So, having gotten done with false teaching, Jude says, now to him was able, meaning he's now going to praise God in these last two verses. Okay, there's a fear you could fall into error. There's a fear that false teachers could grab you. So Jude is going to say, but wait, okay, to him who's able to keep you from stumbling. In other words, to keep you from false teaching, to keep you from sin. The word stumbling there is similar to falling. It's like a shepherd, right, with sheep, and the sheep might fall off the cliff. Remember in Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So Jude is saying, listen, don't be completely freaked out about everything I've just written. There's help for you. And the help is him who is able to keep you from stumbling, from falling, to falling into error, to falling into sin, to make you stand in his presence, to make you stand. When you stood in the presence of royalty, that meant that was something really unusual. In the East at that time, when you were in front of royalty, you fell on your face flat, okay? Otherwise, you could literally lose your head. But it says here that to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. And Al's going to talk about the word blameless. Blameless literally means spotless. Okay, spotless. That doesn't just refer to how white your suit is or how white your dress is. It refers to the state of your spirit, of your soul. That God is able to present you in his presence without any fault, without any sin, He's able to do it justly. He's able to look at you and see you sinless, faultless, and without any blame. And not only that, but not that you stand there just innocent and acquitted of guilt, but with great joy. I mean, one of the things in life that's so difficult for many of us is life can be pretty darn difficult at times. Joy seems to be hard to find sometimes, okay? Well, Jude says, listen, when you stand before God, first of all, he accepts you completely. Second of all, he's done it justly. We'll see why in a second. And third of all, you're going to be really happy. You're going to be really filled with joy. You're going to be filled with the knowledge that God has accepted you completely because of the sacrifice of his son, which we'll talk about in a moment. So this is not as some people think, oh, God's going to look the other way at your sin. No, he's not looking the other way at your sin. He's looking directly at your sin and saying, the penalty of your sin has been paid for. You are, in fact, in my sight, blameless or perfect. Okay. Listen, if I wore a beautiful white suit, there might be an imperfection in it somewhere. Okay. But God, who sees all things, knows that you are perfect in his sight. You are blameless and spotless because of the sacrifice of his son, Jesus. I was going to talk about the fact that so many times in Scripture it says, though your sins be as what? Sins be what? You know, scarlet, horrible, terrible. I'll make them make white as snow. I'll make your sins as far away, your transgression, as the east is from the west. In other words, I'm going to take care of this in a way that only I can, because then I can justly have you in my presence, stand in my presence with joy, because you're completely accepted, you're completely pure in my eyes because of the sacrifice of my son. The next verse, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time and now and forever. So now he links up the sacrifice of Jesus in the acceptance. It says, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory. And the word glory we think of usually, we see something beautiful or radiant. And that's partially what it means. It means to give honor justly, dominion and authority. In other words, God has the legal authority, the spiritual authority to make us stand in his presence, to make us pure and holy in his sight because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. This is not I'm going to look the other way. No, I'm looking directly at all of your sin and seeing it forgiven. I'm seeing you completely acceptable in my sight. Completely acceptable in my sight, says God. And he says, by the way, he's got the right to do it. He has the majesty, the dominion, and the authority. Authority is power, and dominion is like legal authority. He has the right to make you completely acceptable in his sight. One of the greatest tricks of the enemy is shame and guilt. It will tear people down. Okay? And God is saying, you are released from shame and guilt because I find you not guilty. I'm in the legal business. When somebody's declared not guilty in a courtroom, in our country, you can't be tried for that crime again, number one. But number two, it means you didn't. As far as we're concerned, it's done. It's over. But God, who's not a jury who can get it wrong, who can declare the innocent guilty and guilty innocent, says, no, you were guilty, way guilty, required the sacrifice of my son, but now I see you as perfect and blameless in my sight because of that sacrifice. And when what's God's time frame? His time frame is before all time, right now, and forever. In other words, we'll have an election Tuesday. 2 years later, another election. 2 years later, another election. Okay, authority, power goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. God's reign, his dominion, is from eternity past to the present to eternity future. When he declares you not guilty, you don't have to worry about the next election. Oh, they're going to elect somebody who's a judge who doesn't like me. He's going to find me guilty after all. No, God has the power, the dominion, the authority, and the love to sacrifice his son so that you could be found not guilty in his sight. So that's what these last two verses are in the big picture. Al's going to talk and have a treat for us from Mercy. Is it Mercy Me? Is that the name of the group? A group regarding the idea of being blameless and stuff. So I'll give the microphone to Al.
Thank you, Joe. So I took verse 24 and started to do a study on it, and was really, I basically, I was looking up scripture to try to develop some type of little, I'll call it a sermon, but, devotional sermon type of thing. And first of all, if you look up anything that has to do with being washed by the blood or, what Jesus had done for us on the cross, there's hundreds of verses. So I'm going to stand up here and read about 14. but I had thought about, writing something up, and the Lord just laid on my heart is, what's a better way of hearing what God wants to say about what Jesus has done for us than Scripture? So first I'm going to read three different versions of verse 24 in Jude. The NIV says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. The Berean Literal Bible says, now to him being able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless in the presence of his glory with exaltation. In the good old King James, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. If you ever do a study like this, you will be overwhelmed. I'll tell you right now. First verse, Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Titus 3:5. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The cross has made us flawless. And I'd like to introduce Dale Binkley.
I don't know what I can say after that. The joy he gives when we come to him. through all that we experience day by day. The good, the bad, the ugly. He is there to guide us, to guard our hearts. From physical sin, from doctrinal sin, he is there. Help us to see through the deception, through the doctrinal errors that are out there. For those of you that were here at the annual meeting back in January, I gave a little devotion about a lighthouse. I love lighthouses and what they stand for. When there's trouble close by, it shines a light. It shines out a long way. God is there. That's God's light. Even when it's the foggiest of nights, when the light doesn't shine, remember, God provides that foghorn that reaches out a long way to guide us, keep us off the rocks of life. He also reminds us, back in Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Jude finalizes his letter in this last verse by having us focus our attention on where it belongs, on God. The only true God, as we've also sung about today. The God who is able to help us, to help all those who trust in him. And to God be the glory. Hebrews 1:3 says, "The sun is radiance of God's glory." And who is that sun? That's Jesus. "And the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." The representation of God is Jesus. And it's that presence in our lives by the Spirit through Jesus that people know where we stand by our speech, by our actions, what we stand for. God's majesty, we've also sung about today. We've also heard about his power and authority, the honor, reverence, devotion due him. He created everything and all the rules that make it work, make us work. The energy, the wisdom, the strength that maintain it day after day. Going back to Isaiah 45:18 this time. "For this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty." He didn't create it to be empty. That means that's us to help fill it. "But formed it to be inhabited," he says, "I am the Lord." And the last words, "there is no other." Part of what he created also is this country. And of course, we've already talked about voting. That's coming up as our right responsibility, both as Christians and as citizens of the country. Just as it was our obligation to turn the clocks back last night. First Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father from whom all things come, and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all things came, and through whom we live. For those of you who have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn it open. Everybody, let's stand. Whatever we're going to read, those verses 24 and 25 together. And then we're going to stay standing and sing the doxology. Not something we sing very often in this church, but a doxology that reminds us of all that God is, what he does for us, how he guards us and guides us, and how he is. 24, Jude 24. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before the glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
You've been nourished spiritually. We're going to be nourished physically. Lord, thank you for this day, a full day so far, filling us inside with your grace and your hope and your truth. And now we pray, Lord, as we gather together to eat and fellowship, we do so to give thanks for all the provision you've given us, that every good and perfect gift is from above. Come now from the Father of lights, with whom is no shadow or changing or turning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. May the food nourish us, and may the fellowship glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.